Turn, if you would, please, over to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. I'd like to read verse 1 through verse 5. We'll consider these verses, but really our text is verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Prayer is a necessary portion of our Christian life. Prayer is a communication with our Lord. Jesus prayed. The disciples prayed. We should pray. Yet doesn't it seem that one of the hardest tasks of the Christian service is this area of prayer? I mean, when you think about it, how easy is it just to speak? And we don't have to get cleaned up, we don't have to dress up, we don't have to go to a special place, and we don't have to have a quorum. But for some reason, it's still a difficult thing to do, isn't it? Perhaps we're too busy. Maybe we wait until day's end and we're just simply too tired. Or it's possible that there are so many hindrances surrounding us that it's really almost impossible to get a moment of silence. And sometimes we aren't able to concentrate, for our mind is filled with the business of today or the thoughts of tomorrow or even of yesterday. Regardless of the reasons, I judge that to take time to pray is most often down at the bottom of our list of priorities. And it ought not to be. It ought to be at the top. Now, I'm not talking about those quick expressions of prayer such as, Lord, bless this bunch as we munch on our lunch. I'm not talking about that. Or the idea of, Lord, keep me safe as I drive today. Those are good prayers, but I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about perhaps an opening prayer or a closing prayer or the prayers that we offer over our offerings. I mean real dialogue, a time taken out to get alone with God. Something more than just a minute commercial, you know. Spend some time with the Lord. That's what I'm thinking about today. And prayer is an important subject. And I would like for us to consider this area of prayer. And perhaps it will be an encouragement for you and an encouragement to me that we would pray as God would have us to pray. And we would seek God's face. So the title of my message is simply that one word, prayer. And may we find encouragement today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, we know there are some who would love to be here and cannot. We ask that you would bless them. We pray that you'd heal the sick and those who are away, that you would keep them safe in their travels. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today. We trust our songs have been received to your praise. And God, that you'll hear our prayers. And we ask you to bless this portion of our service, that as we tend to your word, that you would just speak to us, encourage us. And we do ask if there's any here today that is not saved, that, Lord, you'd help them to understand that they really don't have a means of communication with you too much, that they're not your children, and, Lord, they need to have a relationship with you. And we pray for the lost, that you might convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus and grant unto them repentance and faith that they would be saved even today. May they cry out to you for forgiveness. And so, Lord, I ask that you would bless this time. May it be honoring to you. May it strengthen your church. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want to think about prayer. First of all, verse 1, we glance at this verse once again, and we simply find that men ought to pray. Now, certainly we use the term in a generic sense, man as far as mankind, men and women. Men ought to pray. Verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's the whole idea. That's the whole purpose. And as we're going to look at that parable in just a second, that's why it is given, for the expressed reason that men should pray. It is an encouragement for us to pray and not to faint. That's what we have in our text before us. And this is an imperative statement. We ought to pray. We should pray. We need to pray. It's a command. Let us pray. Now you might ask, why should I pray? Well, there are many reasons that we could give to you. There are just a few that I would like to enlist today. And I'm going to invite you to turn to several references this afternoon. And turn, if you would, over to the book of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. We ought to pray because, you know what? Joy may be found through prayer. Do you like to have joy? Wouldn't you rather be happy than to be sad? Don't you want to have joy in your heart? You know, there are some people who go through this life, they have no joy. You know what Jesus tells us, and we find in this passage here in John chapter 16, as he writes, speaks to his people, and we have it written for us. You want joy, believer? John chapter 16, look at verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Notice, Jesus said, that your joy may be full. If you're lacking joy, dear Christian friend, you know what I would encourage you to do? To understand. You know what? You can ask of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to discuss that a little bit later on, what that means. But that your joy may be full. Now, if you would, turn over to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. I'd also submit unto you that not only will you find joy, but, you know, prayer unlocks God's treasure chest of wisdom. I don't think any of us have a corner on that area there, that we all need wisdom. There are things that come up to us that we just don't know what to do, how to respond to it, and we need the wisdom of God. Now, where are we going to get that wisdom? James chapter 1 reminds us in verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Isn't that a good thing to know? That if I need wisdom, I can ask God to give me wisdom and believe that God will give me wisdom. And you know what? I simply trust that God will give wisdom. If you ask, He'll give it to you. Do you believe that? And so, my friend, as you go through your life and you face things that you just don't quite know how to handle, you're not quite sure how to approach it, you ought to be asking God, God, would you please give me wisdom? You can find that through prayer, can't you? And what if you don't ask? You won't receive, will you? And so we ought to pray. Oh, not just for joy, not just for wisdom, but have you ever thought about the privilege it is to pray? Go back to chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews for just a moment. Go back to your left a little bit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Very familiar passage here. But what a privilege it is to pray. It says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. What a wonderful thing it is that at any time we can go before God and we have an audience. We're not going to get a busy signal. We're not going to get, well, push one, and if you want, you know, this, or push two, and then, you know, English for three, and all that kind of thing. We're not going to get any of that whatsoever. Do you know we have the opportunity to enter right into the throne room of God? Now, that's not so much familiar with us in our day and time because of our form of government. But you know, when they had kings and rulers, and they had throne rooms. And often those kings were very secluded, and nobody would enter into the presence of the king without an invitation. It just wasn't done. And you think of the time of Esther, you know, and all that. You just don't walk in without an audience. I'll tell you, you know, here's God, the King of the universe. We already have a standing invitation, don't we? We have an opening. We have an opportunity at any time. It says to come boldly, to come openly. It's to the throne of grace. We don't have to make an appointment. We can simply turn to God. That's great news, isn't it? Aren't you glad you don't have to wait? I mean, sometimes you have to wait. You want a doctor appointment, you have to wait. You got to get some other appointment. You want to get your TV fixed. You got to make an appointment 3 weeks down the road, and you got to stay there for 6 hours, and they may show up or they may not show up. Aren't you glad that if you have any problem at all, you can just turn to God and talk to Him at any time, day or night? Doesn't matter. You can go to the throne of grace boldly and find the mercy and find the grace and the time of need. You want joy, my friend? Turn to the Lord. You need wisdom? Turn to the Lord. What a privilege it is to come before God and to speak to Him. Now, our text, Luke chapter 18, He speaks a parable to them that they might always pray and not to faint. Now, I could give you a number of things of why we should continue to pray and all these things, the list. I don't need to do that. You know you ought to pray. I know that I need to pray. And Jesus is giving encouragement to his disciples to do that very thing. Jesus prayed often to the Father, did he not? I mean, you find the scriptures where Jesus was early in the morning, he was at noon, he was in the afternoon, he was in the evening. He stayed up in the middle of the night praying to the Lord. And that should encourage us to seek that kind of prayer life with the Lord. Not just a second here and a spot there. Those are okay. You can do that as you drive to work. You can pray. And as you have an opportunity at work where you might have a break or something, yeah, you can use that time to pray. But I encourage you to set aside some time during your day, morning, afternoon, evening, whenever it is, before you go to bed, whatever works best for you. You set aside some time to where you can just simply converse with God. I encourage you to pray. Jesus encourages disciples to pray, and we need to pray without ceasing. That's the second thing I find in the passage here as we think about prayer, is that men ought to pray. And then we find, and not faint. Look at the verse again. And he spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What would we faint from? Oh, we might faint because of trials, because of burdens, maybe even persecution. Sometimes we simply faint because of unanswered prayer. What it is, we'll ask one time, we figure, well, God didn't hear us, so I'm just, why go back? You know, my kids don't work that way. Do your kids work that way? They come and ask for you for something, and you tell them no. I mean, it's clear, no. Well, it's not 5 minutes later. Hey, what about this? No. Well, what about this? No. Don't you know what no means? That happens sometimes. Boy, they can be very diligent. And flattering, too, we find that, you know. How good we are, how nice we are, how loving we are. And usually just when they want a request toward, they go their way, right? Well, you know what? Sometimes we'll seek the Lord and we'll ask the Lord, maybe even twice or three times. But then it's not quite coming as quick as we like. And we just kind of shove it out of our brains. We just forget. Now, I know all of us have a tendency to forget. I made it a habit, and I heard this a long time ago. Some preacher made this recommendation. I don't remember who it was. But I tried to make it a habit. When somebody says, would you please pray for this person, I'll utter a prayer for them at that time because I know my mind. I know there's a possibility I might forget. And so I at least pray for them at least once if I pray for them as soon as they are mentioned unto me. And that's a good habit to do because we will have a tendency to forget. But as often as God should bring people to your mind, you need to pray. But what will happen is we'll get tired of that. We'll forget about it and we put it aside and we'll stop praying. Now we're told to pray and not to faint. And so the parable is given to that end. Look at verse 2 down through verse 5 once again as we read these verses. There was in a city. So here's a story that he gives. A city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. Verse 6 says he was an unjust judge. This guy was corrupt. And it says there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now the really, and when you look at a parable, you don't have to try to get every little ounce out of everything in a parable. Generally when God gives parables, there's a main drive or a main reason behind it, and that's what you need to pick up. Now, why did Jesus speak the parable? He spoke the parable for one reason only, and that was to encourage men to always pray and not to faint. So what do you find for the encouragement of this parable? It is the matter of perseverance, continuing in prayer. This lady had a problem, and it's implied to me that she was right in her problem. You know, sometimes you might be just in your situation. You might take it to a judge, and the judge may not be honest. The judge may not be fair. The judge might make a mistake, and it may not find you, but you're really in the right. Sometimes that happens among men. Here's a corrupt judge, and the implication to me is this woman, she had a good reason, and she was in the right. And she needed to be avenged. Justice needed to be handed down. But he would not do it because he was a corrupt judge. He didn't want to fool with it. He didn't even regard man. He didn't regard God. But you know what? She went and asked. He said no. And that didn't stop her. She knew she was right. She knew it was the good thing to do. And she just kept going back time and time and time again. And what you find is that the guy just finally threw up his hands in a sense and said, you know what? I'm not afraid of her. I'm not afraid of man. I'm not afraid of God. And I really don't care too much for this. But boy, she's wearing me out. And I'm going to solve this problem so that she'll just leave me alone. And the reason why I make the emphasis of the fact that I believe that this was a positive thing for her, she was in the right, is because I don't want to encourage you to take something that's wrong or something that's evil and just keep hammering God till He gives it to you. Now, He still may grant it, but I'll tell you, you'll regret it the rest of your life. So when God does say no, you need to understand that. But you know what? And we're going to see this as we look through these things in regard to prayer. If we have the right prayers, the right attitude, and all those kind of things, we may not get the answer, but we know it's the right thing. We just keep it up. Keep it up. So don't give up, my friend. You keep praying. That's the whole idea here. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You ever prayed for a job? Ask God to open up the doors, provide, give you new avenues or something like that. You ever done that? I have. Have you? Sure. How often do you pray about that? Especially if you're in a bad situation. I remember when I was up in Ohio, worked in a machine shop, I was trying to get out of that place. And I tried to get out of that place for 2 years. And I kept praying, God, give me a new job, give me a new job, give me a new job. And God just allowed me to stay in that place. But I kept asking, Lord, would you give me a new place to get out of here? And it was the kind of place. They were always behind on their raises. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Of course, the American worker, we kind of knew how to get even on that too, a little bit too. We didn't always work the way we should have, I'm ashamed to say. But I wanted to get out of that place, and I prayed and prayed and prayed. Finally, after a couple years, I got a new opportunity, a new position, and God bless. We can pray, can't we? Should we keep praying? For those that are lost, should we give up on them? No, we must keep praying, 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 praying. I understand that George Mueller had a list of, I'm sure he prayed for more than this, but I was reading recently where he had a list of five people he wrote down that he was going to pray for that they might be saved. And he saw one saved in a fairly reasonable amount of time, and then a second one was saved like 5 or 10 years down the road, and another was saved like 20 or 30 years down the road, but he just kept praying for these people. And finally, right before he died, there was one that was saved of the five. And you know what? He never did see the fifth, but I understood that the fifth one that was on his list, he prayed for all of his life that they might be saved, was saved after his death. Just keep praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And you can pray about anything, can't you? Seek the Lord. Know what the Lord's will is. Ask God to give you wisdom and direction on what you ought to pray for. And you be on board with God. You be on the right page. And you ask before God and you just keep right on praying. Ask God. I want to give you an illustration about praying. When I was back in college, my dad had purchased a car for me when I was in high school. I was fortunate that I was able to do that. I didn't have to buy my own car. But after I'd been out in college and all that, that car started wearing out and all everything. It was time to get a car, and I had to get my own car. And I had a 70 Impala, Chevy Impala, and that thing was falling apart, and it was time to get a new car. I was in college, and for 7 months, I asked God to give me a car. For 7 months, I needed a new vehicle somehow. My dad couldn't co-sign for me. I didn't have any money. I didn't know how in the world it was going to happen, but I needed a car. And yeah, I've asked people for cars. That didn't work. But this time I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And you know, I actually had teachers and students come to me and say, boy, I wish God would give you a car. I'm tired of hearing you bring that up in chapel. And you know, after 7 months, finally God gave me a car. But you know what happened? I ended up with a 70 Buick Riviera. Oh, I love that car. Oh, man, it was a great big boat. 16 feet long, something like that. Great big tank, 455 four barrel. Boy, it was tremendous. I love that car. And that was the first car I ever purchased. But you know when I was praying for a car? The guy at the church down there was helping me out, trying to find a car. And look through the ads and all that. And he co-signed for me so I could get a loan. I mean, the whole nine yards. This guy was a great help to me. But we saw a car, and I went to go look at a car that was a station wagon. Why does a 23-year-old want a station wagon? Well, because I had all these books and stuff like that. I thought a station wagon's more practical. So I went to go look at the station wagon. I'm praying, God, you know, is this what you want me to do? We went to look at it. It looked pretty good. It looked like it was in good shape. Price was right in the ballpark where the guy was going to co-sign and all that kind of stuff. And we went there, and I got in that car, and he said, well, I looked at it and talked to the guy, and he said, and I said, yeah, let's buy it. And so we were driving the car down to, I was driving that station wagon down to the bank so we could sign the note and everything, get transferred and everything. It was going to be my vehicle, and I was going to take it home. And got to the stoplight in town, and it quit running. Died right at the light. And I thought, man, this is not turning out very well. And I said, Lord, is this a sign or what? You know, should I be buying this car? Got the thing started, drove on to the bank. No joke, pulled up into the bank, and there was a front and back to the bank, and it was kind of a long building, pulled up into the front. Got out, went to the doors of the bank, and the doors were locked. We don't know. The bank was open. You could see people in the bank. They were going in the back. And I told the guy, I said, well, you want to go around? He says, no, let's go over here to this other place. I know some other guy. Let's just go over there. And I said, you don't want to go around? He said, no. I said, okay. And all the time I've been praying, Lord, you know, keep me from making a mistake. And you know what? I got back into that station wagon, and it would not start. And the guy was so embarrassed, he had to call his son to come pick us up and the whole nine yards and all that, and had to follow him back. And I said, well, call me when you get it fixed. And he called me a couple days later and said something about the fuel thing. I can't remember what was wrong with it. And he fixed it and all that. And he said, you going to come get your car? I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to come get it. I don't want it. Well, he got mad at me. I just paid $100 to fix it. I said, well, I'm sorry. That was your problem to begin with. But, you know, I prayed for a long time. A month later, I got that 70 Buick Riviera and drove that thing for about 10 years. And, you know, I really do believe God was watching over me. I mean, how often you go up to the bank, the doors are locked, and they're walking in the back, the guy doesn't want to go around. You know, if we'd have walked around to the back door, I'd have signed that note, that car would have been mine, and I'd have been stuck with the repair and all that. We ought always to pray and not to faint. May you find encouragement to always pray. Ask God for protection. Ask Him for guidance and leadership and direction. Not to faint. Now, what type of prayer should we have? Let me give you a few sub-points here. There's some ideas we want to think about in regard to prayer. And go back to James chapter 5, if you would, for just a few moments. James chapter 5. You get the text. You understand it's very clear. Now, they ought to pray, not to faint. He gives the illustration, the parable. There it is. What type of prayer should we have? So we'll digress from here. James chapter 5. In verse 16, there's a mention of in regard to prayer. And it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Notice it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayers with energy. Prayers with power. The effectual, fervent, effervescence, you know, the bubbling up, moving around. That's the kind of prayers we need. Sometimes we'll go to God and we'll just say, the thing doesn't matter to us. And so we go, God, would you do this? There's no passion, no burden, no fervency, no zeal. And He says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I submit unto you that the prayers that we ought to have ought to be things that mean something to us, and it's a part of us, and we're going to step into that, and we're going to pray with energy. I also believe that we ought to have a definite object in mind. As you look here in James chapter 5, you find here in the next verse, in verse 17, Elias was a man of subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Have you ever prayed that it stopped the rain? Or you ever prayed that it would rain? I heard stories of years ago, the churches out there in Texas and all that, they'd have a drought, and they'd say, well, we're going to have a prayer meeting for rain, you know. And so the church would get together, and only one person would bring an umbrella. Now you think about that. If you're going to get together and pray for rain, you're not going to bring an umbrella. How much do you really believe God is going to give you rain? One person would show up with an umbrella. Now, I think there's a lesson there, don't you? And I also believe that we learn in this, we ought to have a definite object in mind. Now, I understand that we have to pray in generalities. We don't always know the mind of the Lord on some things, and we just have to leave it to God's will, and we submit it to Him, and we pray in general fashion. But sometimes I believe we just leave things general. Lord, I pray for so-and-so. Well, what about? You know? I mean, make it specific. This person has cancer. This person is sick. This person's having financial problems. Get specific. Brother Paul asked prayer for his son who's transferred his work down to Louisiana. That's specific. God bless them while they're there. Watch over them. Provide. And we need to have specific prayers, just not generalities. Generalities are okay, but we also need to be specific. Hey, Elias prayed that it would not rain. That's pretty specific. And so you can pray, God, give me a good job that I might honor you with this. Give me good health that I might serve you. Bless my children and provide the right spouse for them. Guard their heart. Keep them safe. Give them good health. God, direct me to be a good parent. On and on and on. Be direct. Have definite things in mind. Just a few pages over to 1 John chapter 5. Go to your right, you'll find another thing. The type of prayer that we should have, not only effectual, fervent, and things with definite objects in mind, but I do believe that we ought to pray in accordance with the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, I believe that with all of my heart. If it's God's will, and I pray about that, God will hear that prayer and God will give. Now, the problem is discerning whether or not it's God's will. And that's where you need to be in tune with Him. You need to be in fellowship with Him. You need to understand the Word of God. You need to seek wisdom to know what God's will is so that you can pray properly. And if we do pray, then we know if it's God's will, He'll hear us. Now, I'll tell you, there are some things you really don't need to pray about and other things you need to pray in regard to. But for example, take baptism. You make a profession of faith, you're saved. Do you need to pray about whether to be baptized or not? Oh, Lord, should I be baptized? You don't have to pray about that. He already gave you command. If a person makes a profession of faith, they need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. That's what you need to do. You don't have to pray about that. But then you can pray, God, help me to be as I ought to be as a Christian. I might serve you well and be faithful and do what I ought to be. I encourage you, you know the commands of God, you don't have to pray about them, you already know what to do, then pray for grace that God would help you that you might fulfill those commands. But there are so many things in life that we approach that we don't really know what God's will is, do we? Don't we want to ask in accordance with His will? What does that mean? Ask according to His will. It's something that He desires. Go back to the book of James in chapter 4, back to the left again. I should have cautioned you to keep that verse handy, but I want to toss back and forth just for a moment or two. That in mind, you have to think, well, I want to ask things that are according to His will. Over here in James chapter 4, as he talks about prayer, he says this in verse 3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now he says, you have not because you ask not, so you need to ask. But then you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, because it's all about you. You see, it's all about me. And so what he says, what's that mean? I must ask for things in accordance to God's will and for His glory. Now, I've had people tell me, well, that being the case then, I cannot pray for myself that I might be healthy. No, I don't believe that. I think you can pray that you might be healthy. Can't you serve better, serve the Lord better if you're healthy? Can't you focus better if you're healthy? So if you're sick, you know what? Ask God. God's the great physician. Ask Him to heal you. Is there anything wrong with that? No. You say, well, don't go to doctors then. No, go to doctors because God uses doctors and medicines. Nothing wrong with that. He can use surgeons. But God is the one that must heal. So you turn to God and you say, God, if it be your will, if I can serve you, I can do that. I ask you to take care of these. I ask you to do that. Was God concerned about the kind of car that I received? Absolutely. Do you know why? I was a Bible student, and I'm His child, and I don't want to waste money. I don't want to be a shame or disgrace to His name. Don't want to make mistakes. And so you ask God, can God direct? Sure. Sure. If you would turn over to John chapter 14 as a relationship unto this. And what we find here Jesus speaking of in John chapter 14 and verse 13 and verse 14 is, you need to ask in His name. We already had seen that earlier in John chapter 16. But here in John chapter 14, and I direct your attention to verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Aren't you glad to know that? What's that mean, though, in My name? I would suggest unto you to understand that what it means is for God's honor and for His glory. Now, I know that we ask our prayers in the name of Jesus, and I think that's a good thing. I believe we ought to append to the end of our prayers for Christ's sake, in His name, in Jesus' name. I believe that's a good thing. I encourage you to do that. But that's just not a superstitious tag on. You know, kind of like, well, here comes a vampire, I got to hold out a cross. You know, some people kind of think, well, they can ask whatever they want, and if they just say the words in Jesus' name, poof, it's going to happen. Well, that's not what that means. This regards the will of God. This regards the honor of God, the glory of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we need to do as His children is to be on the same page with God. To be on the same wavelength so that we can seek God. God, give me Your will so that I might know what it is, so that I can pray regard to that. And again, sometimes we won't know His will, and so we have to say, Lord, Your will be done. If it be Your will, do this. If not, do that. But Lord, Your will be done. And sometimes that's the only way we can pray. When I go to a hospital and somebody's having surgery, somebody's on their deathbed, I don't know for sure that that's God's divine will for them to get up and walk out of that hospital. I don't know that. And so I'll ask, Lord, if it be Your will, heal this person, bless the surgery, get them out, get them home, they might serve You. That's my prayer. That's all I can ask because I don't know the mind of God as far as somebody's life. And I encourage you, my friend, as you think about asking things, ask Him for the glory of God. It's not for your personal interest. It's just not all to be consumed. Some see God as a glorified Santa Claus, and it's just gimme, 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 and it's all about me. You know, that's just not it, is it? God is a Father in heaven who loves His children, who loves to give good things to His children, and we simply need to pray and give and ask Him to give what He would love for us to have so that we might honor Him and serve Him and have joy because He wants us to have joy. Does that make sense? That's the kind of prayers we need to offer. And that's the way we ought to offer them. And let me submit one other thing. I'm going to invite you to go back to 1 John chapter 3. And then you can relax. 1 John chapter 3. Let me submit this and I'll be done. Or I'll reach a conclusion. Let me say that. I believe that the type of prayers that we should have should be backed with holy living. And that's not always easy, I understand. In Psalm 66, 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, he says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. If we're going to be able to ask according to His will, we have to know His will. We have to be in fellowship with Him. And if we're walking afar off, if we're hardened in our heart, it's very difficult to know His will. It's very difficult to know how to pray. And we're not going to be very successful in those prayers. So what we need to do is be close with God. And our lives need to be backed with a holy living. I'm going to give you this quote, and then I'll reach the conclusion. And I quote, how am I to answer the claims of righteousness? By yielding myself to God as one alive from the dead. In proportion as I do that, I am prepared for prayer. The dynamic of prayer is holiness, which is rectitude of character, and righteousness, which is rectitude of conduct. Rectitude of conduct can only grow out of the rectitude of character. Rectitude of character is given to me potentially when Christ is imputed to me. My responsibility is that I yield myself as one alive from the dead to Jesus Christ for righteousness. Every grace which is in Him for me. And my responsibility is that I appropriate day by day what He communicates in order that He may reproduce Himself in me. When in order that I may be more perfectly conformed to His image, the indwelling Christ calls me to some new duty, some new sacrifice, some new enterprise, I must answer with ready consent. If I do, prayer prevails. If I refuse, prayer becomes impossible. Why? Because of disobedience. Because of unholiness. Because of unrighteousness. I encourage you to pray. To pray without ceasing. To never faint. I want you to persevere in prayer. Let me share with you a few thoughts in this matter of closing. Over in the book of Romans in chapter 12 and verse 12, listen, he says this, "Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 18, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2, he says, "Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving." I encourage you, dear Christian friend, to pray. Pray and not to faint. And so may our prayers be continuous, that is, not fainting. May our prayers be with energy. May they be definite. May they be according to God's will. May it be for His honor and for His glory, or in His name. May it be backed with holy living. May that's the kind of prayer that may come upon us. And if you're here and you're lost, dear unbeliever, I point you to Jesus Christ, for He alone is the Savior. And really, the prayer that you need to be offering before God is, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That ought to be your call. That ought to be your request. "God, forgive me. God, come into my heart and cleanse me. Give me eternal life through Jesus Christ for His sake, for His honor, and for His glory." Dear sinner, I point you to Jesus. Would you be saved today? Would you call upon Him that He might be your Lord and Savior? And may we who are saved be encouraged, be strengthened to always pray and not to faint. I do ask that God would speak to your heart and touch you so that you would be encouraged to set some time aside for Him to communicate with your Heavenly Father, who loves you as much as He loves His own Son. My, what a joy. What a thrill. What an opportunity to go before the God of the universe and speak to Him. That's tremendous. That's exciting. And may we be motivated to do so. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are. If you're lost, God speaks to your heart, convicts you, draws you. You would repent, believe on the Lord, call upon Him that you might be saved. If you need help, you come. We'll be glad to help you. And if you're here and you're saved, and God's, I pray that God has encouraged you, dear Christian, to pray. We'll never be perfect in it. We'll never be as Jesus was. But, oh, I'm sure we could be better. And I pray that God would grant us the grace that we need to improve in our prayer life, our communication with Him. And I pray that God does that and begins that in your heart this very day. Father, again, we come before You thanking You for Your goodness and mercy. We ask that You would hear our prayer, that You would touch every one of us, that even at this moment, oh God, You'd begin that work, that we'd be committed to You, given to You, and dedicated more to You in the time of prayer and fellowship and communion, that, oh God, that You would speak to our hearts, we would speak to You, You would lead us, guide us, fill us with Your Spirit, and, Lord, direct our lives that we might be honoring to You, that we might be pleasing, that we might serve You well. And, Lord, we pray for those that are here that are lost, that You would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, that they would be saved today. May they see their need. God, show it to them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?